Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, folks. You're listening to The Dork Forest, or about to. The websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, if you like. Determiners, FamilyPetAncestry.com, if you like jokes, because that just leads you to JackieCation.com. Those are the websites, the credits. Mike Rickberg composed and sang that song you just heard. He sang it with his wife, Sarah Cohen. He'll sing the song at the end, his words to the Mexican hat dance. Patrick Brady fixes this audio. Vilmos fixes my website, JackieCation.com. There are several ways to support the show if you want to support the show. Most basic way, the PayPal button. Donate. Knock yourselves out. There's a PayPal button on JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com. You can also Venmo me at Jackie@JackieCation.com, where you can also email me and say things. Another way to support the show, pretty painless, the Amazon button. On both JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com, there's a link, a banner to the Amazon page where you just order like normal. Doesn't cost you extra. It just supports the show. There is also merch, very direct, at JackieCation.com, a whole merch situation. You can get Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirts. You can get Dork Forest t-shirts. You can get my stand-up comedy t-shirts. All the t-shirts are union made here in the United States of America. So they run a little big because they're made by Americans. There's also my CDs and my DVD. All of that is available digitally as well. But if you want hard copies, you go to JackieCation.com, the merch page. Not available on the merch page are a couple of enamel pins that I haven't added to the merch page yet. And they are Meat Shield pins and Spooky Reading Girl pins. Email me, Jackie@JackieCation.com, if you want those pins. There's also a calendar of my stand-up comedy. There are premium episodes of The Dork Forest, which are episodes that I've taped live, and they cost me a couple of bucks to make, so I charge you a couple of bucks for them. So if you've run through all of the free ones, go to thedorkforest.bandcamp.com and get a live premium episode if you'd like. The YouTube page is on fire. That's right. There's teaser clips on the Jackie Cation Dork Forest YouTube page, but there's also the entire episode, the whole episode of The Dork Forest are now uploaded to YouTube. So if you can't listen to iTunes or whatever at work, you can just have this on in the background with a beautiful picture of the guest and the logo. Enough already. Let's get into the show. Hey, you guys, it's Jackie Cation. I'm in my living room with Karen Rontowski. Follow up on the Mothman. Follow up on the Mothman. Karen Rontowski, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
It's at Rontowski and KarenRontowski.com. And you have a new podcast. How many episodes are there of Paranormal Karen?
It might be, it may be 18 or 20.
Well, there you go. So ground floor, you guys, of Paranormal Karen.
Yes.
You guys, hilarious. Do it. What's up with the Mothman, though? Let's do that.
Okay. So, and by the way, your coffee is fantastic.
Oh, thank you very much.
And that's important that I have it, because last night I spent 4 hours reading at reading tarot cards at a fundraiser for a little school.
Yeah.
And for the first 2 hours, the adults did not know that I was there. So I was reading for children.
Oh, that's hilarious. And how old were these children?
4 and 5. And you know what? A lot of them have woken up today with the stark reality that they will never own a unicorn.
Oh, no.
I know.
Well, you know, you can't hide.
I wasn't gonna lie.
You can't lie to people when you read tarot cards.
Hearts were broken.
Hearts were broken. You may, if you're lucky, you'll own those two tapestries from the Middle Ages that are currently in the Met. But they're in the Cloisters, which is northern New York City.
Okay.
So, have you ever seen those tapestries?
No.
They're these famous tapestries of unicorns in a circle.
Oh.
You've probably seen
images. I've probably
seen, because the images have been hacked. Hardcore.
Oh.
But if you go up to the Cloisters in like 140th and...
Unicorn City?
Unicorn City. See some real-timey unicorn tapestries. Anyway.
And so that's why I'm a little and they had me working. You know how the kids have those little houses that they crawl into? They had me working in one of those, and I thought I cracked my head open when I was walking
did
in.
Did that pay?
Yes, it did.
There we go.
It did.
Fundraisers, by the way, need to pay, just so the world knows, because otherwise people treat you poorly. It's
right.
Weird because they don't value you, even though – you are volunteering something. It's
yes.
very weird.
But I thought it was such a small house. Thank God I fit in it. And kids were running in. It was very odd, but it was super fun.
Okay.
And so first
four
of all,
hours reading tarot.
Oh my God. Yeah, I couldn't see straight when I got home. In fact, I'm still driving crazy today.
Oh, congratulations. So okay, what happened?
No more
to the
left turns.
Is the Mothman matriculating anywhere? Is he going to college?
Well,
did we find him?
That is what's so funny. There's a Mothman bot on Twitter now.
Oh.
That it comes out, I think, every hour. And it says the Mothman is real and my favorite so far is the Mothman is real and he would like to speak to a manager.
I like I follow Big Ben sometimes, and then I unfollow Big Ben because essentially on the hour it just goes bong.
Oh,
it's all in caps, and it does whatever the hour is. And so if you want to follow Big Ben on Twitter, it'll tell you what time it is.
Mothman, Mothman is real and in love.
And in love. Oh, that's a good one. Yay.
So so my topic today is...
Yes.
Well,
what is your current obsession slash dorkdom?
Okay, so on my podcast, I do all paranormal stuff, and I'm not really a conspiracy person. Where are you going, Courage? The boss is here. But I started to do them alone where I do the research, and
yeah.
I became 3 weeks obsession with... Malaysia Flight 370 that disappeared.
The flight out of Malaysia that took off and they never found it.
Did they ever find the
black box or anything?
No. And here's the thing, which is so weird why I kind of became obsessed with it. Because when that plane went down, and I heard it on the news, and I don't do psychic news. Like, I don't go to the news and go, that's going to happen. A voice in my head immediately went, they will never find this plane. The first sentence out was, they will never find this plane. And then I had I know.
Next episode is all about the Twilight Zone, by the way. I'm doing it with Danny Fernandez.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe it's in the – but that leads to some of the conspiracies of what happened,
yeah.
which got crazy. But I started researching this, and I had a friend who was a medium who thought that a terrorist took the plane and it was going to pop up in Israel and blah, blah, blah. She made no sense at all. I personally at first thought it went through a wormhole because I did that before.
Okay.
Did I tell you last time? I went through a wormhole once.
You went through a wormhole?
Did I tell you about this on the last one?
GPS glitch? What happened?
No, I was this was the weirdest thing. In fact, it was the same crazy person that thought that the plane was going to pop up in Israel. Why, I don't know.
Right.
With a different crew. So this
on the Wailing Wall?
Yes.
A bunch of people crying? Okay.
So the first time I went through a wormhole, I was doing a gig in Yuma. Okay?
Right.
And I had a friend. She lived in San Juan Capistrano. And so you go down the 5. I pick her up in San Juan Capistrano. Then you go down. You take a left on the 8, right? You go the 8 across to Yuma. That's the trail.
That's how it goes.
That's how it goes. I pick her up in San Juan, and we stop at a gas station in Carlsbad. And mm-hmm, I get the receipt. I have the receipt because taxes. You keep your receipt,
right? Give a receipt.
Receipt in my pocket. So we start driving, okay, and we're listening to a cassette, a CD I made, and the CD starts to skip. And both of us look down at the CD, and we point, and then we go, oh, and we look up. And there's a huge wall that I'm like, I don't remember that wall. And I go, I don't remember that wall. And she goes, oh, my God, we're in Tijuana. And we went to the next exit, and we pulled off, and we were in Mexico. And you know I lived in San Diego. We never crossed the 8. We never crossed Rosecrans. We never crossed SeaWorld Drive. We never passed Garnett. None of that. And we were in Mexico on a Saturday afternoon. And when we got off of the thing, she called her husband on the phone, and which is an interesting thing for in a minute. We'll refer back to this.
Yes.
We turned around. It took us 5 hours to get out of Mexico. And she turned out to be a racist. And
what happened? Wait, it took you 5 hours to get out of Mexico?
Oh, my
Why
God.
Why is that?
Because it was Saturday, and it was just, you know, the cars waiting to get out.
I've never been to Mexico.
Oh, don't go this way.
Don't go through a wormhole.
No.
Try to get a wormhole out of Mexico. That's the way to go.
I think they're building a wall in the wormhole. You can't get out because they stop every car on the way into
right,
the U.S.
Right, and they need paperwork, right?
They need
passports or something?
Which we did not have.
You didn't have your driver's license?
I had a driver's license, but she said we needed passports. She turned out to be crazy. I don't really hang out with this person anymore.
No. That sounds like there's all kinds of problems here.
Right. She was a nice person, and then years later, all of a sudden, the N-word started coming out of her, and I was like, well, that's the end of that.
Wow.
You'll have to find someone to go through your own wormholes with. I'm
right.
not going.
You clearly went through a wormhole separately, and maybe she found her evil twin in a parallel dimension.
That's what happens.
That's what happens. That's what happens on Star Trek every time.
But either way, she moved out of the state, too. She found herself a racist husband and left her husband. So
did they move to – where did they move to? Let's not find out, actually.
I'll tell you later because I just posted a tape about racism on the –
against.
Yes.
Rangers.
Against, yeah.
Rangers. But Karen Rontowski is always going to be against racism. When,
yes.
When taking a stand, know in your hearts.
It was a good tape about how it's not just in the South.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Truth.
And that there was actually
and
systematic.
And that's on your Facebook or?
No, yes, on my Facebook.
Okay.
And it's done with one of those where they do it with nice, unoffensive music so more people will watch it.
It is nice to
yes.
be told that try not to be a monster with a nice soundtrack.
That's how they
try
do it.
That's how you do it.
And a couple of jokes, just so you know.
Come on. You can rise to the occasion and not
right.
be a horror.
Right.
I believe in you.
Yes.
Okay.
So we, and then
you,
she.
So you thought the Malaysian flight went through a wormhole.
Right. That was my first thought.
Right.
But I have to tell you, the only here's my evidence with the wormhole to Mexico, which was when we got out and I walked into the gig at 5 to 8. The gig was at 8. And I told the guy I had a car accident because I wasn't going to tell him I went through a wormhole. And we
shrewd.
We called all these people that worked on the border and that, and we were like, we didn't pass anybody. And they were like, we have no idea how you got in. And a couple months later, that Marine got caught over in Mexico with all those guns in his car. And he couldn't figure out how he got there. And we were like, oh, I wonder if he passed us in the wormhole. So, but what happened?
Hopefully on the left.
Right. when we were in Carlsbad, the time stamp on the receipt and the time that she called her husband in Mexico, there was no way we could have made it from there to Tijuana.
Right.
We would have gone 100 miles an hour. We would have had to.
Right. And then still wouldn't have made it.
Right.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to let that go. I'm not gonna say yay or nay because it's a safe space.
You and your
wormhole get to go to Mexico and then get out of Mexico and then you made the gig.
So
that's the important thing.
That's what happened. And so I thought when I heard in my head, I heard they'll never find that plane. I thought it went through a wormhole, but it didn't.
Because they somehow because you spent 3 hours tracking like what people think happened to this thing, right?
Three weeks.
Oh, good.
Videos, research, cross reference, Snopes, which I don't like. I'm not big on Snopes.
I don't mind Snopes, but it's not complete.
Right.
We can't be.
It can't.
There's too many bots. There's
right.
too many assholes. There's 8 billion people on the planet.
Yes.
Okay.
So here's I'll give you – because this was my favorite podcast, and it just came out Friday, which was the 20th.
Okay.
And I did the whole hour myself. Two of them my whole hour myself, and I think I'm going to do more. So here's the thing. The plane, I went through the course that the plane went. I went through the timeline. I went through air.
When did this happen? Like 2 years ago,
2014.
2014.
March, I believe it was.
March of 2014.
March of 2014.
Okay.
So
it takes off.
It takes off, and all is good. The plane starts. Like it's going from Malaysia to Beijing. Boom, one straight flight. It's not Southwest. It's not Malaysia,
right.
Texas,
right.
Beijing. One shot, okay?
Right.
And the way I describe the flight planner is it would be if you were on a flight in San Diego and you were going to Baltimore.
Okay. So it might be a five-hour flight.
Right. Well, the time is the only thing I don't know, but I'm giving you the vex of the way the plane went. So this is what the guy did. He makes a left. He starts out, gets halfway there, makes a left, right, left, goes back over Malaysia, making a V, then takes a right to get into the Indian Ocean. So it'd be like if you were on your flight to San Diego, from San Diego to Baltimore, the pilot decides to make a weird turn at Kansas City, goes back over Portland, over the water, takes a right, and goes up to Alaska. Oh my God!
Don't worry about it. You're good.
I scared myself.
You did scare yourself. Wait. So
I not.
So essentially, he gets sort of halfway there, and then weeds off completely.
Yep.
Heads off over an ocean.
Yep. Over an ocean, and he specifically found that spot to dump the plane.
Right, whoever that guy was.
That guy's name was Zafari. He was the pilot. Now, you had two pilots on this plane, okay? And you had 227 passengers in the plane.
Okay.
And the co-pilot had like maybe 18,000 hours, and he was just about to get married. So we know he had a good cause to put that plane into the ocean. No.
I see what's happening. Karen Rontowski does stand-up. It's much better than that joke.
Yes. And I'm not married. But what we think, I don't want to give it away. I want to unfold it.
Right.
So,
So play it out.
Right. So what we think happens is it's definitely all falls on the pilot whose last name was Zafari, who had some like 40,000 hours. Okay.
Okay.
As he comes up, let's say over halfway on his flight, which would be Kansas City, he turns off the airplane transponder. Now, the transponder is what sends the airplane the message to the airport that this is, you know, when you
this
see
is where
the movies,
I am kind of thing. Or?
Yeah. You know, in
is
the movies,
that the black box?
Nope.
In the movies,
you see the air traffic controller has all the planes on the screen and they have their number and their identification. Boop. That's it.
The radar?
And he turns it off.
Okay.
Okay. So
his locator, his LoJack, essentially, he turns it off. Transponder.
Right. And now there's two kinds of radar.
How do they know he turned it off?
Because they figured it was the only thing that could have happened and a few things that happened along the way.
Okay.
Okay. Plus, why wouldn't you think that after he turned the plane around and then ditched it in the Indian Ocean? He turns that off. Now, at this point, everybody's trying to contact him, the ground force, because there's two kinds of radars. There's that kind with the transponder where they can identify the plane number is not. And then there's another one, which is just you see a blob. We see something.
Old-timey radar.
Old-timey radar.
Got it.
Yes, like watching a rock fly.
Yep.
that was where they could see him. Now, the reason he made this weird winding trip is because he was literally trying to go between air traffic areas, so they couldn't see.
Okay.
But what he didn't know is all the engines in this particular plane, which was a 777. You can say that. You can say 37s or a 777.
Right.
That plane engine has little things in it that are little locators so they can track how the engine's working.
Okay.
So that's the only reason we know that he took the path he did.
Okay.
Okay. So, but he thought he was not being
followed.
But the engine was going click, 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 click with certain air places.
Right.
Now, he also, when they found, after this all had happened, and they went to his home, and he had an air flight simulator in it, which I was like, okay, what's that about? And then I asked all these pilots, and they were like, oh, no one has that. And I
was like, why would you have that?
Right. I think
you have an airplane.
Right.
Right.
I think that would be like if you had a.
So he's gone mad.
Kind of, we think.
Is he married with children?
No, he is not. But is
does he have a family?
No.
Zafari?
No. They didn't mention
anything. Is he a loner?
Is he a loner? He's a loner, but here's the thing. And then we're ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
Him having the air thing is like if I walked in and you had a stage with test dummies in the seats. Like, you wouldn't have that. No comic would have that.
No, no. It's like sending someone a tape of you doing stand-up in your basement.
Right, right.
It happens.
Right.
But those are not people who work.
Right.
So don't do that.
Right. Hang on. I got an antsy dog here.
You want to grab the dog?
Yeah, sit there. Okay. But was he mad? I'm not going to give you the ending. People are going to have to listen to the podcast.
You got to go.
Tricky.
That is tricky. Paranormal Karen, you guys. Is it an hour? Is your podcast
an hour? But
there
it's a good hour. It's a good hour.
It's a real good hour.
Yeah.
But here's my thing. All podcasts should be an hour.
Oh, do they? That's I go short thing. Sometimes.
No. They shouldn't be longer than an hour.
Oh, long. No.
I'm a huge fan of the Dork Forest being an hour. And the Jackie and Laurie show, I think, has been established. We would like that to be an hour.
And if you wait till you see the emails you get if you do 40 minutes. We want more.
Sometimes people want more.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that's a better email to get.
Right. Well, if you have a 3 to 7 hour podcast, it's a real clock eater for people. I mean, it could take the whole day, but it's super boring.
And my producer always says, just keep going. And I'm like, no, we'll split it in two or something. But so what they think, I'm going to give a big chunk of the middle of the podcast here.
All right.
They found, I think, 3 or 4 pieces that they're absolutely 100% sure are from this plane.
Okay. They found pieces of
just
it.
Just a few.
Oof.
Because.
And none of the bodies and none of the chassis. Okay.
Nope. Here's what happened. We think And I'm going to tell you something. You have to listen to the end because it is not what you think at all. It is not. Well, you'll go, oh my God, that makes sense. He, when he was going over, he got the co-pilot out of the cockpit somehow, probably to go to the bathroom, would seem like the Occam razors. And then he depressurized the cabin and killed everybody in the plane. So now he's alone on the plane. Okay?
Now, how do we know that?
Because at a couple of points, they called the cockpit. And at one point, the cockpit answered. And there was a click on the mic. This is what we figure, but I'll tell you why. And all they heard was static and mumbling. So somebody okay. was in the cockpit. This mumbling. Whole plane, this whole time, there's evidence that someone was driving this plane.
For okay? sure, flying the plane.
For sure, there was always a pilot. Because they couldn't make any turns. Because if you don't straighten out on an airplane after the turn, you corkscrew, it would have gone down earlier.
Right.
Okay? So so he gets rid of everybody in the cockpit. Now the plane is his. Now he thinks he's not being tracked, and he flies over and he lands the plane on the water. Now, if you're a crazy guy and you're going to do suicide and you're okay killing 277 people, why wouldn't you just fly into a plane in Beijing? Why the crazy tracking and then a landing on the water? And wait, it was a landing.
Now, how do we know it's a landing?
Because of the only pieces that they found were off of the right wing. If he had crashed into the water, there would have been so much things. But he wanted that plane to go down all in one piece so that no one would find it.
And then sink.
And then sink.
That actually does sound crazy, though.
Well, I'm not saying he's not crazy, but right. I'm saying there was a purpose. It wasn't like...
right. Oh. It was, right, mad scientist.
Right, it wasn't right, mad right. scientist. And so he went to land that plane, and he had a little trouble with the right wing, which was the pieces they found.
Okay.
And then the plane sunk. So, and this is from a Canadian guy that worked for the Airline Safety Commission forever.
Okay.
He says that plane is in the bottom of the Indian Ocean.
Right.
Fuselage intact. Do you know what fuselage is?
Nope.
It's where all the people are in the plane.
They call that the fuselage?
It's the guts of the plane. Yeah. It's
that's where the seats are? They call that the fuselage?
We sit in the fuselage.
Interesting.
You would think there would have been fuel in there, but there's not.
I've always thought that was some sort of fuel thing.
No, that's
welcome
the...
Welcome to the word... See I what know. We've learned, Rangers. Here we go.
Next time you get on a plane, say, hey, nice fuselage.
I feel welcome in this fuselage. Thank you very much.
And on my podcast, I go through the whole... How they tracked him, how they knew, back and forth, and this guy, and blah, blah, blah. So... The Indian Ocean is, like, really deep, okay? In fact, they haven't found the plane yet
right.
that has sunk to the bottom. But interestingly enough, they found a sunken ship while they were looking for the plane.
Oh, they found a different ship.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to find all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
This is where my socks went?
I know.
This type of thing? Very
exactly,
funny.
Exactly, a ship full of socks.
Could have happened. We don't know. Wow. Okay. So... was anybody important on that plane?
Hello, bingo!
Well, that's the whole thing, right? I mean, that's the thing with conspiracy theories. They're like, we have to kill all the programmers of the next generation mm-hmm. of Call of Duty. Because nobody wants that coming out.
Okay.
Okay, so were there fancy people on the plane?
I'm going to give you a brief explanation of a lot of people on the plane.
Yeah.
Okay?
Because it's people flying from Malaysia to China.
To Beijing. And I'm not going to explain anything about, but there were two guys on there with fake passports, Iranians.
Two Iranians with fake passports?
Uh-huh.
Because once they started examining, it was 227 or 277?
There was 227 and 12 crew members. I believe that's, yeah, I'd have to check those numbers exactly.
Right.
Four people didn't show up for the flight.
Okay.
Okay. And there's a theory, there's a conspiracy theory of, like, it should have been 228.
Okay.
There's one person where they're kind of like, what happened there? They don't, yeah. They think that was one of the theories that a mystery person was on the plane.
Okay.
I will tell you the two Iranians with the fake passports
yeah.
turned out to be wanting asylum. They couldn't tie this to them at all.
Okay.
12 members of a company, a computer company on there.
There were 12 members of the same computer company.
Top engineers, 12 to 20 employees of a
computer company.
That's all I'm saying.
Right. Wait, I think I vaguely... Wait, I think I must have read this conspiracy theory. They were like, they were creating something that was going to save cancer or whatever.
Well, that wasn't it, but...
No, that's not what they were doing.
Right.
But clearly, this
clearly there was
this,
a big
this
chunk.
Could have been what's that called?
It's did like somebody want them
espionage, the corporate espionage.
Oh.
It could have been like a we're like another company saying we don't want that company to have these 12 to 20 guys working there.
It wasn't a company, but you'll be surprised who it was when you hear the whole podcast.
It's what you think.
Yes.
Right, I know. But here's the weird thing is so this is something you do though.
Right.
Is you find a mystery and you're like, what is the most unlikely but accurate thing that could have happened?
But see, that's the thing. This goes against my very being.
How so?
Because I'm gonna tell you after who it is, and you'll be like, Karen, that was very logical. That was the furthest thing from a wormhole. And there were some other conspiracies. Like they thought the plane was on the moon. And I couldn't really figure that one out. That was even far out for me.
Yeah, that's a lot. And that's first of all, what about that conspiracy where we can't even get to the moon?
Maybe there's planes there all the time now. We don't know.
We know there's a car up there.
Right.
Because Elon Musk sent a vehicle into space. Because you know why he sent that vehicle into space?
No,
he needed that weight. He wanted to see that was the right weight of something.
Oh, so he sent whole car? What kind of car?
His car. It was like a Tesla or something.
Oh,
and, so I don't know that. I think that's what it was. All I know is that there was some.
Didn't
people
he
were
see
like
Back
Superman.
To the Future? You have to send a DeLorean.
A DeLorean?
DeLorean.
But there's only like a 20 left, so you don't want to send that. He's a car guy. Right, he owns his own car company, and he owns his own spaceship company, and he needed to check the
Space Force.
What's that?
The Space Force?
Yeah, what's that?
That Donald Trump starting a Space Force? He decided that in the middle of a speech?
In the middle?
Spill speech to the Air Force.
I couldn't be happier that I don't listen to his speeches. Why? My head would pop off.
Right, but we should write a song. Space Force. So,
We do comedy.
So here's some other conspiracies.
Yeah, please.
There was another one that hackers had taken over the thing, the computer in the airplane.
Oh, still the same. The other conspiracies regarding the Malaysian thing. Some people thought that the plane went to the moon.
Some people thought the plane went to the moon.
Who thought that the plane? Why? How did
I think
there
was just a couple of people that had some good PR.
Oh, fair enough.
Because I didn't even follow the thinking on that.
Right. It's hard to figure out what the heck they meant. And the next thing,
because we would have seen it go to the moon. We have satellites.
Right. We have telescopes. We have very powerful telescopes. What was the next one?
There was one that the aliens took it over. And then there was a phone call, which came out last year, which freaked people out, which was like some kid goes, oh, my God, I got this weird voicemail, and it's the black box. Who called me? I can't stand it. And then it went viral. And it was some code that I didn't understand that said, they're not human. Help us.
Oh.
Everything is sunk. Like, I didn't know this. This is what I found out, too. You know, an airplane has a thing that if it crashes into the water, there's a thing that if an airplane is hit hard by anything, it immediately sends out information. So people know this plane has been hit by something, whether it's on land or water or whatever.
Right.
Also.
Like the birds with Sully?
Right.
Okay.
Yes. And also, if you're just above the water, there's no radar there.
Right, you got to go under the radar. I know that from the movies.
And when you have an affair, you go under the radar. It's a saying.
Right, and that's how we know that's how planes get under the radar, that you got to fly low.
That's right.
And then you run your bombing rates, World War II. I remember that.
And another thing I found out is actually if somebody decompresses the cabin, you just fall asleep. So it was a good death.
Oh, okay. So it was a peaceful death.
And here's another thing. The Malaysian government, after they found out that he had a flight simulator in the thing, they announced it, and then, whoop, everything disappeared and no one said another thing.
Okay, so it came out that he had a flight simulator and then...
And that he had tracked this flight. So he had practiced it many times before. You wouldn't think a pilot would need practice.
Oh, yeah, you would. What, don't you think?
No.
Because the Earth is weird.
But it's genuinely the same.
Who found the flight simulator? The government?
No, the flight simulator in the guy's.
Found by the cops.
They went to his house and they said, "Oh, this guy's got a flight simulator in
the
his
police.
House." The police found okay. the pilot's flight simulator in his house.
Released the information,
and then all of a sudden it all disappeared, and then no one could ever see the flight simulator again.
So how do you know that there was a flight simulator?
Because they announced it. They found it. They said, "We went to this guy. We went to Zafari's house, and he had a flight simulator. That's very odd. And the government is looking into what." And then they said that it. They showed where he practiced this flight, and then. No more information.
Okay.
Like the Ark of the Covenant in right. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right. So they interesting. So but do the is there video of like them announcing that they found mm-hmm. this flight simulator?
Yep. That they knew. Okay. Yeah, that's one of the
That's how you know.
Yeah. That's a fact.
It was a news thing.
Right. That he had a simulator.
That's still on there.
That's still on there. That's real news. The guy that was actually – the guy wrote a book about it that was the airline safety guy in Canada had really – that was a great – he was really spot on.
Okay. So
– he knew the angle that the – when he said he landed the plane on the water, the other thing is the piece that broke off of the right wing, there had to be a pilot to flip that. Okay? So somebody was trying to land that plane and flip that up, and that's how it broke off. If he had okay. just crashed or went down, that would have never flipped up and broken off.
Okay. According to this flight safety guy.
Right. Yes.
Got it. Okay. Any other conspiracies?
You know what? I was listening to I'm thinking, okay, so I went on YouTube, and now I really enjoy that YouTube now knows what I want to see, and the ads are very creepy.
No, the algorithm's amazing.
It is.
It is.
So I was looking at an old Art Bell. This was the best Art Bell episode, and I remember listening to it. And it was on YouTube, and it was where he was talking to a guy that was frantic and had just escaped his job at Area 51, and he was screaming, and he was sobbing, and he was saying, "Art, it's not what you think. They're going to destroy blah, blah, blah." And then the whole satellite system went off the air. Not the channel. The whole system, like all the stations, when everything went down. And then Art Bell came back on the air. And it was like this creepy – it was totally creepy because it wasn't just like somebody – like the phone call. Like his whole station went off the air and he had to go on backup. And and the best part is now people are looking at that and the comments are fabulous.
Oh, I bet they are.
One comment, my favorite comment, said about the caller. He said, "This guy is either telling the truth or he's lying."
Really? That guy nailed it. That guy, that comment guy. Holy smokes, he knows what he's talking about.
And another guy that said, "I worked at Area 51 and it's not aliens, it's a big beer garden." So that was fun. But I'm looking at two conspiracies, but I have a friend that's into them and he's warning me and they're both very dangerous. So I'm not sure which one I'm going to look into first.
Dangerous.
I know. Okay. Well, this one's about – I want to do one about the dark web.
Oh, the dark – isn't that where porn is even weirder?
Well, there's a lot of things, but there's – I think they sell drugs there too. But there's – this is a weird saying. I think we should know about this in case our country gets a little off the map.
What's the dark web?
The dark web is where there's no tracing websites, where you can go there and nobody can trace you. There's no IDs. It's a lot of illegal stuff, a lot of bad stuff, but it's the web underneath the web.
It's interesting to me, though, is the fact if everyone knows that there's a dark web,
yeah,
can't they then trace?
Can't
the police and the powers that be go to the dark web and then trace it?
Well, they can, except here's the thing. The dark web is that scary, like if you and I go on the dark web and start looking around,
yeah,
there's somebody that could come up and go, "Who are these idiots? Plan some porn in our computers." Not our porn.
Oh, there's viruses?
Viruses.
You can get – because it's unprotected?
They can take over everything. They can take over passwords. They can take over your computer. There's, they can plant evidence.
Your firewall doesn't work in the dark web?
No.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, because
your
firewall –
you're
going
to have to look more into that.
Right. Yes. But it could be if I disappear – I'm on the dark web.
You're on the dark web.
And you can look and I'll be
look.
In a video with
behind
courage.
A screen miming. You'll yes. just be like, "Let me out." You'll just be mouthing the words, "Let me out. Let me
out. Let me out. It's very dark in here."
No, it's so dark. And then what's the other one that you're looking into?
The holistic doctors that keep dying.
Oh, are they
the
killing
ones that, yeah, the ones that do kill, that do have cancer. But I have a actual connection to that. A person I know that was working with some of them. Like, okay. not a person that had cancer mm-hmm. that was going to them. And I talk about that on that podcast, too, just for a minute.
Okay.
When they died, so when the time is appropriate, I will speak with their families.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a little – I'm not Dateline.
No.
I don't need to
– No, you don't need to shake people up day of.
I need to give people the information that they need to know without going on the dark web.
Right. I bought 4 copies of Laurie Kilmartin's book, Dead People Suck, and I sent them off to people, a couple of them, too soon.
Too soon, I sent them.
Yeah. People had just died. I'm not super sensitive.
You're getting like me.
I'm a little blurry as to – timing.
A year. The mediums.
It's supposed to be a year.
Yeah. Mediums aren't supposed to even take clients where the person has died a year in that time because they're too open and they will probably hear what they want to hear, not what you're saying.
Oh, fair enough.
But
in the world of mediums.
But you know, it's me. Yeah. It's never too soon.
Now, you do the podcast with Kira Sultanovich.
I do the tarot podcast. That's going great. Karen and Kira can read.
And you guys have guests.
We have guests, and we do readings for them. And it's actually a little prickly.
Oh, people get a little prickly?
People get a prickly.
Because sometimes it's not cheerful, right? Sometimes it's there's trouble before good things happen again.
Sometimes there is trouble.
Like life. Because life is good, and then it's bad, and then it's good again, and then it's bad again.
And if they're not vulnerable and open to what's going on, like sometimes – you catch a divorce that they're in the middle of that isn't quite public knowledge or
– Oh, right.
Yeah, stuff like that. And then they call us and go, we would prefer that that doesn't air. We've had a lot of that. And we were like,
oh, really?
What did you expect?
It's an hour of opening a vein.
And there's a lot of this. Wow, you guys really know what you're doing, don't you?
There you go.
Yeah, that's why we call it that. That's why we said that.
That's what we do. It's one of the things we do.
That's why it's – yeah. That's why it happens like that.
Right. Did you bring your cards?
I did not. Are we short on time? Did you need a reading?
Well, we're only at a half an hour, you know.
No way.
Yeah.
No way. I got more things to talk about.
Please.
I could talk about because my other obsession, because this conspiracy theory on the flight, I always rate my podcasts when in the beginning. This one got 10 creepies.
Oh, fair enough.
And creepies are, that's uncomfortable, like someone's following you. But the one I did on the Portland tunnels got 10 spookies. And spookies are where you might not be able to sleep.
Oh, so creepies are less creepy than spookies?
Yeah, creepies are like, what? That's there's a dark web?
Right, because your Instagram has been really fun lately.
With my Paranormal Karen's,
With your Paranormal Karen Instagram has been super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing some nice video work there.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's really funny. Yeah, so other things that, like, you, when you travel, you like to find the most haunted.
Mm-hmm. And I just dragged my mother up to a tunnel in North Adams, Massachusetts, that it was, it turns out I don't like tunnels.
Oh.
And we drove to visit, she wanted to visit her sister, and I kind of forget, my mom has a little dementia, and sometimes I forget that I'm the adult now, because she was the only one that would go up this mountain, across the railroad tracks, into this creepy tunnel with me, and she's like, let's go. And then the first thing we see is a deer, which then makes me think, you know what probably is around here too? A bear.
There might be some aminals.
Yes.
You don't know.
And she's like, maybe we should sit a minute and enjoy nature, and I was like, Maybe we should go.
If there was a bear, there would be no deer. I just spent 4 days in Yellowstone.
Oh, that's all. I'm so jealous of that.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was so gorgeous and so beautiful. And it was, you could spend your whole life just kind of wandering around Yellowstone. It's 2 million acres.
Wow.
For as long as that lasts. And so it's gorgeous. It was, and we saw lots of bison.
Bison is a
buffalo.
A buffalo, okay.
Yeah. Here's the thing about bison. 3 different middle-aged white ladies, our age, wanted to pet a bison and got kicked, hit in the head, hit in the hip, by their heads, by their feet, because bison are wild animals. And
you would have learned after one.
Three different stupid white ladies is what I'm saying. It wasn't the same white lady. You would have...
But really, you see the first kick, and then you get the feeling, no petting.
No petting. And there's a sign every two inches. Stay the fuck away from the wild animals. They're wild. I'm surprised it doesn't say that. That's with cursing and everything.
Well, that's like the koalas in Australia. You go to the wild animal park, and there's one guy talking about the koalas, and he says, you only touch them on the butt. You don't touch them on the head. You don't pet them. You only touch them on the butt and don't do anything else. And then he walks away, and sure enough, I see two Japanese women come along, and now I'm the crazy American screaming,
middle-aged crazy.
Now I'm in charge of everyone. That's because I have to take control now because the guy has left. And sure enough, they're going right for the face.
Right for the face of a koala.
And a koala has those nails that look like they're perfect for scooping out an eyeball. They're eyeball size scoop.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's they were like, you could pet the koalas when I went to the koala kangaroo holding pen of petting in Australia. Australia's full of places that are like, nah, you can touch them. We'll hold them down. No. We'll be fine. You want to swim with sharks?
Right.
I swam with whale sharks when I was in Australia.
Wow.
I didn't want to. But they needed another person to make it to get the discount. So I swam with whale sharks. I didn't have a lot to say to a whale shark. I don't know if you know this about me, but I don't want to. I just want to watch. I don't mind seeing an animal in its natural habitat as long as I don't find it rude.
Right.
Like I always think it's a little invasive. I'll overhear like a conversation at another table at a restaurant,
right?
And I won't feel invasive then because we're people,
right? And you don't want to challenge them. Like if they have a snow cone car, you don't want to open up one right across from there. That would be offensive.
What's that? What happened? What just happened to this conversation? What's a snow cone car?
I thought, like, you don't want to offend the animals, you said. So I would be like, it would be like if they had a whale shark snow cone cart. And then you open up Jackie Cation's snow cone cart in the middle of the ocean. Then you're taking away their business.
No, that's not what I was thinking. I was thinking.
I'm really tired.
You're pretty tired. It's, You got anything else?
No, I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep up.
Right.
So I can tell you about the tunnels in Portland.
Please.
That was exciting. Oh, and I did one podcast all my own on ships, on haunted ships.
Who doesn't love a haunted? Who doesn't love a haunted ship?
I know. They're great, aren't they?
Yeah.
And so which one do you prefer?
Whatever you want to tell me. Yeah. I want to hear about, like, what are your favorite things that you are following? Like, you just did the Portland tunnels. Let's talk about those.
Okay.
Was that neat?
That was super neat, but it's terrifying.
Was it? How many tunnels are it under Portland?
There are tunnels all through Portland, but if you play at the club at Harvey's,
right,
they have a part of the tunnel that's blocked off, which means they're
underneath the Harvey's?
Underneath the Harvey's.
They have access to a tunnel.
Yes.
Underneath the comedy club.
Yes.
In Portland, Oregon, they have access to one of the underground tunnels in Portland.
And it's unbelievably freaky haunted because the other tunnels, you know, they have tours and people go through them and people, so they're kind of like the ghosts that are there are used to it. So on that episode, there's three parts to that episode. The middle part is when the owner of the club takes me down and we literally do the interview in the tunnels.
Yeah.
And there are so many, there's like 20 EVPs in 30 minutes. Would you know what EVPs are?
You've explained it, but explain it again.
It's where you're taping and then when you go back and listen to the tape, there's another voice on there, which is literally like a ghost voice or something that can't be explained.
Right.
And there's literally a voice in the beginning, in the first 2 minutes, between that screams, help me. And the voice is so like crackled. I can't tell if it's a male or a female. Because in this tunnel, they used to Shanghai people in Portland.
Right, right.
They used
to get
them drunk.
Merchant Marines.
Drop them through the bottom.
Yep.
Boom. Out.
Mm-hmm.
Out.
Yep. It's why there are very few black people in Portland, because they any people of color immediately got Shanghai'd.
That's the racist place I was going to tell you my friends moved.
Oh, she moved to the racist place. It was, it's been gentrified. Isn't that mean that they've cured racism? Isn't gentrification curing racism?
Probably not. Probably not today.
Okay.
But Portland is still like almost all white.
It's pretty white.
It's pretty white.
Did you have fun at Harvey's?
I had a blast at Harvey's, and now they don't talk to me, so I don't know what happened.
Right, right. You're like, did I? But you were just there, so maybe they're waiting a year.
Yeah, but they could say hello when I say hello.
Right. They could respond to your emails.
They
could
respond to that, say hello, but they don't. So that was – but I also – here's the weirdest thing about that episode. I had I also talked to some Susan Rice, funny Susan Rice.
Oh, yeah, hilarious.
Because I
comic.
Was like, what kind of a person sets up people to drop through the floor and then sells them?
Right.
Okay? And
right.
a lot of white people. It's a lot of
oh,
white
Oh, plenty
people.
Of white people because yeah. they ran out of people of color.
Oh,
right, that- right. You got to start grabbing you yeah. got to start grabbing whoever you can at that point.
Yes.
And they were just selling them off to the Merchant Marine.
Yeah. And so she actually worked in an old age home when she was really young there.
Mm-hmm.
And she one of the people that she watched over was the woman who was married to the guy that was in charge of all the Shanghais.
Oh, a bad guy.
Uh-huh. The,
one of the bad
top
guys.
Bad guy.
Oh, my gosh.
Top bad guy.
So Susan Rice knows that guy or knew that woman?
She died.
Right.
She's old.
But she knew her.
She knew her. And I was like, what is that kind of person like? And turns out not necessarily horns. She said she was beautiful and
oh, good looking.
Bossy. Good looking. It had to be. Otherwise, the boss would send her down the chute.
Right. I remember when Mitch Fatale told me that he was saving up for a trophy girlfriend. And I thought, Why would you say that out loud? And because he said, well, I want to get a trophy wife, but I can't afford one. And I was like, you may not be the best guy to share a condo with. Anyway.
Which weird offshoot, Handmaid's Tale is freaking me out.
Oh, that's a TV show.
Oh, my God.
And a book that I accidentally read that book. When I was traveling through Europe, there were two books that I ran out of books while I was traveling through Europe in 1989. And I ran out of books in English. I don't read anything but English because that's my nature, unfortunately.
You're so limiting yourself.
I limit myself.
I don't read at all.
And so, well,
I'm not bragging.
I got two books. One was The Frickin' Handmaid's Tale, which is incredibly well written.
Uh-huh.
And super horrifying. And then the other one was a book of short stories about written by Hungarian authors, most of which were set in 1956. I don't know if you remember what happened in 1956 in Hungary, but the Soviets do. They came in and they smushed everybody. So sad sack short stories by Hungarians about some genocide. And then The Handmaid's Tale.
Well, I have to tell you, The Handmaid's Tale is really good, and I did not want to watch it because
incredibly
of that.
Well done, I hear.
Oh, my God. And you kind of have hope. You have hope. It's not without hope. That's very interesting.
Well,
but it is
you
got
to have hope because history is cyclical. You know, it just keeps going.
But it's also fear because you kind of, I swear to God, that's where we're going.
Right.
There's already a men's group that's trying to do that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a nightmare the other day. I was telling you, I got lots of crazy ass nightmares, and I carry
cyanide tablets with me,
just
in case.
Really?
Yeah.
What's happening? No, you don't.
In case I become a Handmaid's Tale.
Oh,
but
is
I'm
that,
too
is
old
that
to the, have kids, so I don't know where we fit in.
Is that is that in the show that you should carry?
No,
a cyanide
but
tablet?
I would because I was thinking, how would I get out of this?
Oh,
you know.
Do you ever see Tank Girl?
No, does she have cyanide tablets?
No. They literally, Tank Girl and Jet Girl are these two women who are clearly, they're superheroes in an old movie with LL Cool J and people in bunny costumes. It's a mess of a movie.
I remember Tank Girl was Lori Petty and I liked it.
Yeah.
It sounded good.
It was, I loved it, but I didn't see it at the time. I just saw it.
Ah.
And one of the things I loved about it was that they were literally, you knew that they had been incarcerated and raped repeatedly.
Right.
But they responded to rape in a way that I have never responded to rape, unfortunately. But I would like to in the future. Wait a minute. yeah, exactly. So this has taken a very dark turn. Rangers.
But that's how what I bring with me, the darkness.
Oh, shit. That was painful.
That was the dark web.
That was the dark web checking in. I'm going to edit out that complete and utter.
I think you should leave that in, though.
It was me getting too close to the equipment, and there was a large crackle, and it will hurt everyone much like it hurt me.
But we should redo the joke because it was funny.
Well, I'll just tell you what the jet. I'm not going to get rid of the joke. What are you, nuts? I'm just going to get rid of the loud crackle, and I'm going to tell people there was a loud crackle that they didn't have to hear.
I was the dark web. They're already after me.
Oh, we're leaving the dark web joke in. the jet, they were, you could tell that, like, when they were getting raped, they would like make fun of the guy's dicks.
Oh yeah, and sometimes that makes a rapist go no more. Like,
I don't
can't
know.
Do it.
All I know is that when Indiana Jones made fun of the guy that was punching him, or when anybody ever made fun of the guys, it's like what men do when they're being beat up in movies. They make fun of the people that are, I could do this all day. That's what Captain America says, right? When he's being beat up, and you're just like, you call that hitting? And so I assume in Tank Girl and Jet Girl, I assume that they were like, you call that fucking me? I can't even feel it.
I had a boss when I was doing my internship, and she told us a story. She used to take us out for beers, pictures of beers at lunch. This was a good internship.
What was your internship?
It was graphic arts.
Okay.
And then for some reason, we were working in a grocery store, and we had to put all the signs up. Like, we made the signs or something. I don't know what has happening.
I feel like I went through a wormhole here.
Well, either way, I was drunk on a ladder. That's all I remember. And I was picking up a sign. And then she told us this story about how when she was a kid, she went out and she had sex with this guy. And then the guy called her again and he picked her up and his friends were in the car and she was like, well, and then they brought her to the railroad tracks where no one was there. And they said, we're going to rape you. And she said, well, listen, I don't like the railroad tracks, so let's get it over with. And then no one could get it up.
Wow.
She took all the wind out of their rapism.
Out of their penis.
Yeah.
Because you know what's inside an erect penis? Wind.
Wind.
A lot of people don't know that about penises. That's what makes them erect.
Wind behind their wings.
You guys, aren't you always glad when Karen Rontowski comes over? It's at Rontowski on Twitter. It's KarenRontowski.com. It's Paranormal Karen podcast, which is on iTunes and all the things.
And Paranormal Karen, the web series. So just ParanormalKaren.com, Paranormal Karen, you'll find everything.
Everything will be there. And it's just checking in, just letting people know. I don't know if there's any ads on this one, but whoever's advertising on this episode,
good luck.
Good news,
it's
you guys.
It's going to be on the dark web.
It'll be on the dark web. And maybe it's the dark web advertising. We don't know. So,
happened again.
Portland Tunnels, did you do the regular tour?
No.
I'm going back.
Oh, you got to do the regular tour. They have little shoes in there. They have little shoes of the people that fell. Isn't that nice? They kept the shoes in a pile of the people. I know. Don't keep the shoes.
Wow.
I know.
You know, in the Holocaust Museum, there's a room full of shoes.
Shoes are not...
Shoes are chilling. I don't know why empty fucking shoes are chilling, but they're chilling.
And you know, when people jump off buildings, the shoes come off. Isn't that weird? That's how you know it was a jumper.
Oh, really?
Even if they're like, even if they tie tight.
What about a boot with a zip? Is that something?
I don't know, but the shoes always come off.
Always come off.
Maybe we're making shoes better now for suicide.
We're making shoes better for suicide, you guys. It's a new slogan for America.
And arsenic tablets. That's what I need, right?
Arsenic. And old lace.
No, just some.
Have you ever thought of a doily?
A doily.
You should always carry a doily with you so that you can class up any event.
That would be a funny thing where you kept your arsenic tablets in a doily just for the metaphor.
Just to remind you of that Cary Grant movie.
Yes.
And the arsenic and old lace, you guys, it was a play. So, you reading anything good? A lot of the internet, I bet.
I'm so glad everything's in video now. Actually, I'm reading something very good. You know what I'm reading? I'm reading What Would Buddha Do If He Was Stuck? And it's amazing. It's all this Buddhist stuff. And it's about how to get unstuck. And it's fab. And I was like, I got it at the library. I downloaded it. And I was like.
Oh, it's on like a Kindle?
Yeah. And I said, it's on audio. I listened to it. Then I went and I said, I may buy this book, which is a rare occasion for me.
Right.
If it's not about ghost hunting or something. Yeah. I go online. There's only one copy. It's on Amazon for $12,000. Or $1,200.
$1,200 for a hard copy of a book.
The comma's after the one. 1, 2 something something.
Well,
I know, and it's at the library.
Can you buy the audiobook?
I think that could be more. I don't know why it's at the library.
Who read it? Buddha?
No.
Did Buddha read it?
I know. See, isn't that odd? It's this great book. It's at the library. And then one copy on Amazon for $1,200.
What's it called?
What If Buddha Was Stuck?
What If Buddha Was Stuck?
And then I ordered the other one, which is What If Buddha Dated?
Oh, written by the same guy?
By the same lady. Same cover, lady? Like in a series.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I can't find that one either. Like, why? Well, who's not reprinting these if they're worth $1,200?
Right, that's weird. Is she alive? Is she dead?
It can't be that old if we're worried about Buddha dating.
Right. That sounds like a Tinder thing.
Right.
Right. Interesting.
Right.
So that's and what are the what would Buddha do if he was stuck? I wonder.
Let me think. There's a lot of things
that Buddha would do.
Would
he sit in it?
No.
No.
No. He would...
He wouldn't patiently wait to be unstuck?
No.
Okay.
But here's the thing. I listen to it at night when I'm sleeping, and I fall asleep. So I set the timer for 30 minutes, so I hear about the first 15, and then I fall asleep. And the next night, I turn it on, and I get a new 15.
Oh, there you go.
So it's a little choppy.
Okay.
I got to put it together and do an episode.
Right. Or do it in your car. Long drive.
I just downloaded onto my phone. That's exactly how I was thinking.
That's a good idea.
Because I've really actually listened to the whole book probably four times, half of it.
Oh, fair enough. Right. You got to see here how it ends.
Right.
Much like whatever happened to the Malaysian flight, we got to listen to Paranormal
Oh, my God.
Care.
I promise you guys, you won't be disappointed.
You won't be.
I did my research, and you will not believe the ending. So excited.
You are excited.
You know who I'm a bigger fan of than Snopes? I call them Snoops because they're snooping.
Okay.
Instead of Snopes. Anonymous.
I don't know.
Anonymous. They're on Twitter and they make films and that's the real news. And it's where they wear the mask and they hide their identity.
Right.
And that's real stuff.
But I don't think that they... I don't know about that. I don't know.
I enjoy their work.
You enjoy their work. You enjoy... they don't seem to be doing anything... Like, no one can find the actual video of Trump peeing on the lady, but supposedly exists, right?
Oh.
Supposedly. But like, things actually exist, but supposedly Anonymous has them, but won't release them.
Oh, I would believe that. But here's the thing about Anonymous.
Why is that?
Well, I don't know why Anonymous would have them. Why would Anonymous have them?
It's like supposedly they have all these hackers and they can get Anonymous can get into it and everybody can get these things.
Well, here's
but no one will release them and we don't know why.
I think Putin is smarter than that, and here's why.
I think Putin is a pig.
Well, that's true too, but he's a smart pig.
Sure.
And I have a couple of I listened to this show.
Right.
They were interviewed a CIA agent, and he was saying how after the Cold War, the CIA agent, they met with the Russians. They had like a brunch.
Right.
Okay? And they laughed and had a good time after this war. And they wanted to see who knew how many sleepers each country had.
Okay.
Like, who did we really know were in that show, the Americans? Who did we really know were there? And we had... five left in their country.
Right.
And they knew about four of them.
Okay.
And we thought they had like four in our country and they had like 200.
Okay.
Like it was like, oh my God.
Do you know why? Because it's more fun to live here than in Russia.
Right.
I'm so sorry.
Right. But also they like beat us on spy work. Like we weren't even in their arena.
Do you hear about the pencils?
No.
They sent we spent most of the 50s developing a pen that would work in space.
Oh.
And they went into space and they used pencils.
Oh, yes.
Did you hear about that?
I thought you were going to go with like, and then they dropped the pencils in every doctor's office and
nope.
They have little microphones.
I would like to qualify the fact that I said Putin is a pig and he clearly meddled in the election and
right.
all that stuff, which is
That's
what we've done for a thousand.
Going.
Well, for a thousand years, 100 years, we've meddled in other people's elections. Now people are meddling in ours, and that's the way it goes. But the thing is he is a pig, but he has only thing that has been revealed in the last 2 years is that which exists. He has turned over rocks, and these are real Americans that are horrible, horrible pieces of shit. And so we have to somehow put them back under rocks?
See, and I think the whole thing is him.
Or drag them into the sun.
Almost everything we're looking at is him right now. Because I think people laugh and they say, oh, you can't fix this election because there's machines, blah, blah, blah. If they had 200 people then, when they weren't worried about sleepers in this country, how many do you think are here now? How many do you think are running polling places? How many people do you think are working? You know what I mean? Like, I think they could be infiltrated huge. And I think
I think that easily 2% of actual Americans are horrible.
That's true.
And
too.
Possibly 30% of Americans are lemmings.
And they
and
just
so they'll
follow
just
what
follow
they're
they
just
horrible
watch Fox
people.
News and they listen and that's the law.
And so I don't necessarily know that there's a master puppet worker, but I'm not much of a conspiracy person.
But
so
I am.
So you think that there's people going, do this, do that, make that thing happen.
And I think the whole thing where we're all of a sudden nice to North Korea has to do with how close they are to Russia and that Putin made a phone call and said, You know, let's open up North Korea. Let's.
I think that Donald Trump wants to sell
condos.
Yeah,
I don't think he has ideas that good.
No, because I think that's the only idea he has. I think that? It's the only thing he's ever had any ideas is he wants to, because he wants to make money, but he's a moron.
Oh yeah.
So he only he is sitting on a pile of trillions and trillions of dollars, and he's bragging about getting free golf. You know, he doesn't have to pay for. He's nickel and diming the government, and I'm like, dude, there's a gazillion dollars all around you. You're grabbing a free candy bar.
Well, I think, though, there's not. I don't think he had trillions before this. I think he was broke.
No, he's never had any money. But I'm saying that he doesn't think big enough, that he's a hack.
Yeah.
And he's a little man. And so he wants to steal, free nights at a hotel when he could steal.
Stepping over dollars
all of the
for
money.
Pennies. Yeah.
Yes. That's it.
But I do think, it went so fast from we hate North Korea to we're pulling our troops away. You know, I don't think, I think it has.
The rest of the world is going to have to put us down like a rabid animal.
I know.
Like Atticus Finch. We are the bad guys now in World War III, and it's too bad. But
and I have to talk to Lori. You know why? Because
Lori Kilmartin.
Yeah, because the only place I think I could get dual citizenship is
Luxembourg.
No, is she in Luxembourg?
Yeah, she just got her citizenship.
Mine would have to be in Austria. I didn't know my family was from Austria. I thought we were from Germany.
Do you have? I don't think that they have that thing that Luxembourg has.
What's that?
Or do they?
Where I have to find out.
Oh, yeah, you would have to, yes. You would have to find
I have
out.
The call. Hello, right. Austria.
Hello.
I've had family there.
But Lori actually has secondary passports.
Right, and I would like to do that now. I would really like Canada, but everybody's going to go to Canada. Niagara Falls, up past Niagara Falls, I could drive right down and see my family after the handmaidens take over. But we can't be a handmaiden because we're too old. What would we do?
Well,
we'll work in the colonies. They haven't said what the colonies are yet.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't either.
That's that TV show, right?
Yeah.
So how many
seasons
are there?
No, the colonies and the Handmaiden. There's two Handmaidens?
Yeah.
I think
the Handmaid's Tale. How many seasons are there?
I think there's two.
How many have you seen?
I've seen, I think I'm episode 4.
Of the first season?
Of first season.
So you just got into it.
Right.
And you're learning all about this dystopian future.
Yes.
And the acting's really good.
Oh, my God. And it's... And it's just great. It's just great. And
what do you like about it?
The main character, first of all, the actress is really great, and also it just is. It's very strange, but it's compelling. It's compelling, and yet you're always on that edge, going, "Somebody's got to get out. Somebody's got to make it out. Somebody,
right.
You know." So you know that this big finale is going to be something better than we're all not going to die here.
Okay.
So there's still a reason to tune into the next one.
Right, right.
You know.
But you love a tense TV show. You love a tense real life thing.
Yes.
So you like a scary movie. Did you see Get Out?
Or I loved it. I loved it.
The Quiet Place?
I didn't see The Quiet Place yet, but
you know
what? I
understand it's super tense.
It is tense, and they shot it right by where my parents stay, and we went there, and there's nothing. There's nothing in Little Falls,
New York.
Is
it super quiet?
It's very quiet. and they have a castle, and
you gotta love a castle.
Beardsley Castle, and we had dinner.
Did you have a nice dinner?
We did have a dinner.
With your family?
You did.
That's great. How is your family?
They're good. They're opening a dollar store near my mom's thing. What's going on?
I don't understand what I'm doing wrong with this phone.
It's my energy. I heard my aura is very purple.
Your aura's super purple,
I should have downed it down before I came.
If you could have made it violet or possibly ultraviolet, what's my aura? Do you know?
I don't.
Can you tell?
I don't. I think you're yellow.
What does it mean?
Yellows are funny. Funny people are yellow.
And what is purple?
Spiritual, tuned in. Somebody said that when I was reading tarot cards, which is where I should be.
Okay, and is there red or what are the colors
of
the
anger? Pink is love.
Okay. This reminds me of the Green Lantern rings. Is there a black aura?
Yes. But I'm not that positive. In fact, you know who has black aura? Felicia Michaels. Somebody told her that.
Oh.
But I'm not that familiar, but black is all colors. So I think it could be good.
It could be good.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to hear an interesting tidbit that I found?
Yes, please.
You know why the infinity sign is like it is?
that sort of eight, yep. that sideways eight?
Sideways eight. Because if you stood in the same spot for a year and took a picture of the sunset, that's the way the sun would move.
Oh, interesting.
It would move like an eight and it'd come back.
That's around. Where it came from?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah.
Fun fact, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Rangers of the Dork Forest, we have had another fascinating hour that waited the fuck off as usual with Karen Rontowski.
Attention deficit with Karen Rontowski.
Welcome to her third podcast. Everyone only gets two. It's at Rontowski on Twitter. It's Paranormal Karen everywhere. ParanormalKaren.com. We'll find all the things. And Karen and Kara can read. And Paranormal Karen and the Malaysian flight.
Is the good one.
The reveal will be an amazing reveal. So thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?